Today, we'll talk about doing Disney World with teenagers. That's coming up on this episode 90 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 90. As this episode is going up, I am actually at Disney World right now. So this has been recorded ahead of time because I am out and about in the park. So stay tuned for next week, where I will likely mention my sort of whirlwind 48 hours in Disney World that is this weekend. Today's episode is about planning Disney World with teenagers, which is something I know a little bit about. I normally do try to focus on people that have young children because there's a lot more factors to consider when you have young children, but there are some unique things with older kids. And so I wanted to talk about that today. And to help me out on this topic, I asked my assistant Heather to join me because she is the mother of teenagers as well. And to call her my assistant feels like it doesn't feel like a good enough title because she's very much a partner in this and she knows as much as I do about planning trips and she's incredibly helpful. So she is officially my assistant, but she knows a lot about trips and is very much my right hand woman in making sure that we can correspond with as many people as possible by email and put articles together with lots of good information. She writes some of them. And so she's a key part of this, keeping everything afloat and the information current. So we're going to talk to her in just a minute. And after the conversation with her about going to Disney World with teenagers, I do have news and a quick tip of the day to wrap it up. So let's just dive into my conversation with Heather and learn more about taking teenagers to Disney World. So, Heather, thank you for joining me for this podcast.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So, we both have kids that are in the teen years. Like, I just had one leave the teen years and one enter, and your two are solidly in the teen years. How old are your kids?
I have a 17-year-old, and then I have a 14-year-old that will be 15 in just a couple of weeks.
So this is a topic that we sort of know a lot about since when we go to Disney World, we are trying to plan around teenagers, which is sometimes a totally different task than planning for little ones. We don't have to worry about strollers.
True.
But we do have to worry about hormones.
Yes.
And moods. I think we have pretty good kids. I don't think it's a huge problem for us, but it definitely is a different sort of strategy and way to approach a Disney trip. So I wanted to sort of go through the six-step planning process, which you are very familiar with. And yes. I just wanted to sort of in using that as the structure, kind of discuss what we might suggest to people who are going with teenagers. So let's start with how to plan when to go to Disney World. So what are your thoughts on that when it comes to teenagers versus little kids?
Well, at least for us, I think planning when we're going to go has to kind of work around their school dates more than it might have to when they're younger, right? Mm-hmm. Because teenagers have tests and high school becomes a little bit more intense. So it's not as easy to pull them out of school. So those breaks are when you're probably going to have to go. And that can lead to a little bit higher crowds, which means, you know, planning's important. So picking the dates and then making sure that your teens are comfortable with those dates, because sometimes they may have stuff going on too.
That's such a good point. And I think that when kids are little, it's really easy to pull them out for a week if you want to, if that's something that you feel comfortable with. But it gets really hard when they have a lot of tests. And when they're in middle school and high school, they have so many classes. So it's a lot to sort of make up. So it's kind of hard. My son, a year and a half ago, told me, no more missing school. Don't even think about taking me to Disney World unless there's breaks. So you and I both happen to live in states, Texas and Kansas, where the spring breaks are a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. So I think for people that have earlier spring breaks, those are often good times. And you and I both just went in March during our spring breaks with our kids. So like in terms of playing around school schedules, that's a good one. If your spring breaks are not near Easter, the times near Easter are pretty crazy. because it's such busy crowds. But, and then I think you and I both have also gone end of May, early June.
Yes.
A few times for same reason, because we were waiting for school to get out. And then as soon as school was out, we went before the peak summer crowds arrive. So I think that's a good point. And then does your school district have all of Thanksgiving week off or just part of it?
No, just a half day before and then Thursday, Friday.
So we used to have that schedule. And then for some reason they changed it. I guess it's sort of like our district's version of a fall break is just to do the whole week of Thanksgiving. And I actually think the first part of that week is pretty doable at Disney World. It gets much busier with Thanksgiving and, you know, the Friday after. But mm-hmm. the first part of the week is actually not too bad. So I think if people have to plan around school schedules, you know, early spring breaks are good, early summer, very late summer, the end of mm-hmm. August, and maybe even the first part of Thanksgiving week can be pretty doable.
Yeah. And also just kind of thinking about what might appeal to teens. If you're going to do a shorter trip, I could see going during something like Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party might appeal to an older set, or even Star Wars Weekends, you know, for a 4-day weekend or something. That might be something that you could get your teenagers excited about when you're going as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And those are a lot of fun for all ages, but especially teenagers. Okay, so that's planning when to go. But so next on the list is deciding where to stay. And I know that I usually stay on site and you have some experience staying off site. So what are your thoughts about where to stay with teenagers?
Well, in my mind, there's kind of the two schools of thought where if you're on site and you have teens that are a little bit older, on site could give them some of their own more mobility. I mean, they could, if you feel comfortable with them leaving the park or joining you later in the day, being on site means that they would have access to on-site transportation. They would be able to maybe navigate to a different park. And I think that would be something maybe that would be appropriate for some of those older teens that needed some of their own time or wanted some of their own time. However, off-site gives you more space, which for less amount of money, or the same amount of money. So if space is something that you need for your family, you know, that's going to give you some more harmony during your vacation, then offsite is a definite option to give everybody their own place to go decompress after a busy day in the park, or just space to spread out, because teenagers definitely take up more room than a toddler.
Yeah. And staying in one hotel room can be awkward with teenagers. Like, you have a family of four. So right. I assume when they were little that you probably shared beds and could stay in two beds in a hotel room.
Yes.
But obviously when they're adult sized, it gets, and you know, it's awkward yeah. to share a bed with somebody else, whether it's a sibling or, you know, mom or dad. So having their own bedroom or their own space would be really nice.
Very true.
So along the same lines of what you're talking about, I say if people are going to stay on site, the boardwalk area is good. You mentioned having independence, which can mean lots of different things. But I like the boardwalk area because if they are older teens that can go out on their own, there is stuff to do on the boardwalk area a little bit. Like there's, you know, entertainment certain days of the week that they could go enjoy. They could rent a Surrey bike. They could just walk around the water, you know, whatever it is that they're into, that does give them a little bit of freedoms. The other hotels kind of feel sometimes like once you're there, you're done, you know, whereas the boardwalk, you could actually leave and go out and do something if you wanted to. And I also think that some hotels on site are good for have separations that give you a little bit more privacy. So you were talking about everybody sort of having their own rooms in an offsite location, which I think is good. But if you're staying on site, some of the hotels have a separation between the bedroom area and the sink area, which mm-hmm. for us has actually been great for privacy. Because, you know, we used to all change in the same room and it was no big deal because when you're little, it doesn't matter. But teens really need more privacy. And so, you know, some of the places have the doors that separate. So it's almost like its own separate room where a teenager can feel comfortable changing their clothes and getting ready without somebody looking at them, you know. So I just really appreciate that some of the hotels have that extra bit of, you know, privacy.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, and actually we stayed in March, my son and I stayed at Caribbean Beach, and they have the heavy doors in there. And so we were able to sort of, one of us close ourselves off while we got ready in the morning. So I just found that really handy. Didn't really think about that when I had little kids, but now I think, oh, I'm glad that was an option for us. So anyway, a couple of different ways to go there, off-site, on-site, but ultimately privacy and independence are big factors there. What about when you're planning your days out for your trip that involves teenagers, making your daily plan?
I would say definitely first make sure you get them involved. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a lot more buy-in that way.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I jotted down this too, was have your teens help you plan. You know, like, are they more interested in Epcot now that they're older, or do they care about Magic Kingdom still? You know, maybe they don't want to do as many days. I would also add that you might want to insert some Universal time. You know, people, mm-hmm. kids that are teenagers right now grew up on Harry Potter, a lot of them. And so going to see the Harry Potter stuff at Universal might be a nice thing to insert into a Disney trip, especially because Universal caters to older kids. And so there's more intense rides in addition to the Harry Potter stuff. So that might be a good thing to add to your plan, is to maybe spend a day or two at Universal in the middle of your Disney World trip.
And also water parks, if that hasn't been something that your family's done before. Water parks are big with teens as well.
Yeah, for sure. And like when we went a couple years ago, my daughter was 18. So obviously that's different than a 13-year-old. But she was really interested in the water parks. And so she went and did that without us, because we just weren't interested in water parks on that trip. So, you know, if they're older, like, you know, in a couple years, both your boys will be old enough to venture out on their own, and they might mm-hmm. do a water park while you and your husband take a nap or go do something you want to do, you know? I think it's nice to give teenagers a little independence. Water parks might definitely be one of the things they do without you.
I agree.
What about dining options? I assume this is going to be another one where you're going to say you should definitely get the kids involved.
Yes, absolutely. And I don't know that my boys would be taking enough initiative on their own to maybe seek out what they might like. But in the past, what we've done is given them a list of different ones with examples of what kind of food that is served there, and let them kind of pick which they would like, kind of weed it down a little bit to ones that we knew that they would probably be interested in, so that we weren't giving them a list of all however many restaurants Disney has, but let them pick what they thought that they might like out of ones that we knew that they would be interested in.
Yeah. So like, what were a couple that you guys really enjoyed on your last trip?
Sci-fi is always a must for our kids. They really, really like sci-fi. And they also, they love the character meal still, Chef Mickey's. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the characters as much as the dessert options on the buffets, but they do like those ones as well.
At this point, though, is it also a tradition? Like, have you guys all just gone to? Yeah. So it's part of, it's like a routine for them at this point. I also think that if you happen to have teenagers that aren't picky like they were when they were little, that it's fun to sort of try out new foods. So you could do World Showcase things like Beer Garden or Marrakesh or maybe Boma, which is the Animal Kingdom Lodge. And so it's sort of fun to experiment with older kids if they're not picky. Whereas when they're little, you might be looking for, you know, a basic pizza, macaroni and cheese type of menu. And so I think that's good. But there's also some places that are a little bit ornery that they might enjoy, like Whispering Canyon Cafe or 50s Primetime Cafe. Mm-hmm. So those might be fun for teenagers too, because they can sort of join in. Or like you were mentioning character meals, and the stepsisters are at 1900 Park Fair. And in terms of characters, like, they're really fun and like to play around. And so even people that don't like princesses tend to like them, because they are, you know, sort of silly and can be sort of dark compared to some of the precious Disney characters that you typically would encounter. So yeah, lots of good things. But I do think it's good to point out that character meals could definitely still be a good option for teens, because, you know, some of that stuff we never really grew out of. It's still fun.
Yes.
What about park touring? How do you do touring with teens?
Definitely think about, let them know what, or find out from them what their must-dos are, so that you get those crossed off, so that everybody gets an opportunity to do the things that they're really looking forward to. And then something that was really apparent to me on our last trip was that even though my kids are not toddlers or little kids any longer, they would, you know, and I don't want to say they acted bad, but, you know, they would start to get grumpy. And it always comes down to those, the same things that anybody, when they start having a little attitude or grumpiness, it's they're either tired, they're hungry, they're overstimulated. And that doesn't matter what age you are. So not pushing it. And when they start to have some signs of maybe not having fun, knowing when to call it and heading back and letting everybody rest and recharge. Because I think in my mind, I was thinking they were older and they would be able to go longer. But just because they're older, that doesn't mean they're going to get any less tired. And Disney is still a very large, overstimulating and tiring environment if you try to push it too hard.
Yeah, it definitely is. And a lot of teenagers need a lot of sleep, too. So, you know, even though they often like to stay up late and can stay out and see fireworks and stuff, it can often seem like a lot to, you know, have a 6 a.m. alarm, you know, the next day to be at the parks at park opening. So it's a lot. I mean, I think it's a proven fact that teenagers wake up with melatonin still in their system. That's why they're so sleepy. That's why school is so hard the first part of the day. And so it's not even them being, you know, having a bad attitude. It's just that they're literally more tired. And so, but I think it's FastPass Plus actually makes this easier.
Oh, yes.
Much easier. And we have a very I don't like to battle with my kids. I like to sort of make them feel like we're on the same team. I'm not trying to drag you out. I'm not trying to push you, you know, past your limits. And so, you know, when my son is too tired and doesn't think he can make it to park opening, which happens a couple times, then I just open the app and reschedule our fast passes and give him a chance to sleep. Like, I think sometimes you have to do that.
Yes.
Which can be tricky. Like, if you have dining reservations and a lot of things going on, sometimes it's hard to do that. But I think with teenagers, sometimes you have to be flexible. I mean, with everybody, I think with everybody, you have to be flexible. But I think with teenagers, especially, that sometimes they just need more sleep. I mean, there was one day, I think it was last November, that my son literally slept 13 hours. Like, it's just exhausting to go walk 8 or 10 miles and to be hot. And then, you know, he just needed to sleep. And I let him. And so when he woke up, he was ready to go and we had a pleasant day. But I do think it's, you know, they're not taking naps at home. So you don't think about them having to sleep a lot at Disney World, but, you know, it's tiring. So
it is exhausting. And there's, at least for us, we've always taken the approach that there's no dining reservation or no attraction that's worth anybody being upset, or it's just not worth it to push it too far. So knowing when it's okay to just walk away from something, I think is important. It's not going to ruin your trip if you decide that, hey, we really can't go 8 hours today. We just need to stop at 4 and go back and let everybody have a break. You're still going to have a fantastic trip. No one ride, no one attraction, and no one dining reservation is probably worth having a whole bunch of bad memories because you pushed it too far.
I completely agree and totally take that approach. But I also have to acknowledge that you and I have a privilege of having been many times. And so it's easy for us to say, oh, we'll just do that next time, because we know there will be a next time. So I know people that don't get to go as often probably feel more pressure to get things done. But I would just suggest that, you know, keep the overall goal in mind to have fun with your family, not necessarily check everything off a list, even if you don't get to go that often. In the end, I think your memories will be better if you're not fighting.
True.
And pushing each other too far. Okay, so the final thing is adding extra magic. And, you know, with little kids, you know, we often talk about Tinkerbell visiting hotel rooms and things like that. And that's not necessarily the case with older kids. So do you have any ideas for adding extra magic for teens?
Well, I think Tinkerbell could still visit. I mean, they're not going to probably think it's Tinkerbell, but things like gift cards. If you're staying at a resort, maybe even arcade cards so they can go use them in the arcade. I think things like that would be fun. We've done pins in the past for our boys. They're a little kind of getting to that age kind of in between where for them that's not as fun for them any longer, but they still like the trading part isn't as fun, but they still like to collect the pins. So that's something.
Yeah. And I think, you know, related to the sort of the Tinkerbell thing is that, you know, the Disney Florist does have in-room celebrations, which is something you can pay for. And then Disney Florist will come in and decorate your room if you're staying at a Disney World resort, that is. And this is something that we did when our kid, like 2 years ago. So Our kids would have been 11 and 18 or something. And it wasn't something they'd ever heard of, that they'd ever seen. And so they were genuinely surprised. And I was able to sort of tailor our package a little bit to fit their personalities. And what happened was this in-room celebration contained so many things that they didn't really want souvenirs. So I recently posted on social media and different things about some of the in-room celebration options. And a lot of people's reaction is that it's so expensive. And it's not cheap, that's for sure. It's like $300 or $400. But it contained so much stuff, snacks and autograph books and plush, you know, characters and all the, it's so much stuff that it often can replace your souvenir budget. And so I think for older kids, it's kind of fun to have that stuff delivered to the room, certainly for younger kids as well. But I think just as sort of a Tinkerbell alternative for older kids, if that's not something that they would, you know, be into, that's a mm-hmm. good one. I also think another extra magic opportunity might be one of the backstage tours. You know, they have minimum ages, and some of them have minimum ages that are in the teens. And so a lot of times teens can do things that, you know, they couldn't do when they were younger. Like my daughter did a Segway tour. We did one of those together as soon as she turned 16. I think that's the minimum age for that. And so that was sort of fun to just go do that because she was old enough to do that for the first time. And so I just think you can sort of explore some things that they couldn't do as little kids and add that to your trip as well.
That, you know, you've just gave me an idea. That would be fun with ours the next time to do that. I think they would really enjoy some of those tours. We're going to have to add that to the list.
I would highly recommend the Wild Africa trek as a fantastic one. I'll never look at Animal Kingdom the same after doing that. It's great. Yeah. So that's definitely one to consider. I forget the minimum age for that one, but it's in the teen years. Your kids might be old enough to do it.
Yay.
But yeah. Anyway, lots of fun. So I think this has all been helpful. I know people ask me about doing stuff with teenagers, and I thought, well, why haven't we talked about this? We know a few things about it. So I appreciate you being here. And if anybody wants to follow along, Heather has her own Facebook page. She is Heather from WW Prep on Facebook. And oftentimes, if you email me, you'll get her replying to you. So anyway, thanks for being here, Heather. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So I loved having Heather on. She is incredibly helpful, and you would never know it from that conversation, but she was very nervous about that, and I thought she sounded great. And if anybody was interested in having a drinking game, you could have had a drink every time I said the word so, because for some reason I got really addicted to that word in that conversation. Okay, so I said so again. Let's talk about news, because we had a few things come out this week, and one of those was that the 24-hour event at Magic Kingdom, which is on May 22nd, the schedule for that has been released, and I'll link to that in the show notes so you can read the schedule if you happen to be going. But there's a lot of Frozen-related events, because that is the theme this year, and you can go check that out in the show notes to see what is planned for May 22nd. I did mention in that conversation with Heather that there are in-room celebrations available, which I think is something fun to do with teens. But there was just a new one that came out this week, and it is Frozen themed. So if your goal is to do everything Frozen themed, then in-room celebration, which is around $400, I believe it is a good option. And it does include lots of different things, including a Frozen themed door banner, snowflake confetti, luminaries, a pillow blanket that's Frozen themed, pillowcases. There's a tote bag that is Frozen with delicious treats inside. There are Anna and Elsa vision glasses, which are basically those glasses that you wear to watch fireworks, and it makes different shapes. There's a lanyard. There's an autograph book, memory cards, an Olaf plush, just lots of stuff. It is a lot of money, but it is a lot of stuff too. And they come in your room and will do that if you are staying on site. So that's an option. And I will link to that in the show notes if you're interested in that for your trip. Next on the list, I was a guest on the Passporter Moms podcast this week, and we talked about some of my favorite first timer tips. And so since you're listening to this, I assume that you like podcasts, and you might want to go over to the Passporter Moms podcast and check out their most recent episode. And finally, there's an Indiana Jones themed restaurant that's coming to Disney Springs in fall 2015. And I will link to that in the show notes so you can see the concept art. But people who are fans of the movie are very excited about this. And so you can go check that out on the Disney Parks blog, which we'll have the link in the show notes. finally, I wanted to wrap it up with a quick tip of the day. And my quick tip of the day is that I suggest if you are going for a combo, Cinderella's Royal Table, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique combo, to look at booking those for the end of your trip. Both of those are available, and that's if you're staying on site. So if you're staying on site, you can book your reservations for your whole trip up to 10 days at a time, 180 days before your trip begins. And that includes both Cinderella's Royal Table and Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. Cinderella's Royal Table can be booked online, which begins at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique has to be booked by phone, which begins at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. It's often difficult to sort of coordinate both because you don't know when you make the reservation online if you're going to also be able to time it correctly with the boutique at when you call. But your chances will be better if you go to the end of your trip because there'll be less spots already filled up. And so my suggestion is just to try to book those towards the end if you can to increase your chances of getting the timing that you want for both of those. I think that is going to wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this episode, you can go to wwprepschool.com/episode90. That is the number 90. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.